The following program is paid for by Little John Financial Services. The opinions and views expressed may not reflect those of Brook Communications, its affiliates, or its employees.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now, True Wealth, presented by Little John Financial Services. Here are David Littlejohn and Katie Shook with True Wealth on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
You know what time it is.
The New Year.
I know. Happy New Year, everybody. First show of the year. We didn't actually do a New Year's Eve show, which means I can say, yes, Happy New Year, and thank you for tuning in to the True Wealth Radio Show.
I feel like it's kind of like all Christmas long, you kind of say, well, have a Merry Christmas. I feel like just saying Happy New Year all January. Like, can't we just wish everybody like a good New Year the whole month?
I think so. I've still been wishing Happy New Year's to people. Here's my question, okay? If I haven't seen somebody in the New Year, can I wish them a Happy New Year in like July?
I'd say yes. Although at that point, you're kind of like, well,
hey, first I've seen you, so I guess Happy New Year.
Like Happy half year left?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's leap year too this year.
I like leap years.
You
I don't
do
know.
Or don't?
I do. Did you know, here's an interesting piece of trivia. Did you know when the date that I moved into the office, when it was just me, now the team office?
No, it was probably on leap year, wasn't it?
It was actually on February 29th.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So February 29th of 2012, I began official occupancy.
Aw, so it means something to you then.
It does.
It's like super important. I just like having a month that has a little bit more of the average days. Because like February always feels like it gets robbed somehow. Like, why did we end up with a short month? Why didn't we just have 30 days in other months and then like February was a little more normal?
So there's, well, I don't know about that, but I do know why there's a leap year. And something like every 1,016 years, you have a double leap year. You have to add an extra day because it's actually like 4 minutes shy or something. And so however, maybe not 1,000 years, but however many it takes, those 4 minutes add up to a whole day eventually. And so it's a day and 4 minutes. And so or a year is, you know, every fourth year you add one day to get back in sync. But that one day is not quite enough. It's 4 minutes shy. So however long it takes to get those 4 minutes add up to an extra one or whatever. Somebody's listening that knows the exact number, but they know I'm not wrong.
If you know,
that
if
it's
you know
not
it.
Just a leap year doesn't fix it. They have to, like every random astrological event calendar out there, they have to add an extra day. So 2 days in a leap year or an off year. Or I don't know what the bonus year or something, but they'll come up with a clever name for it.
I didn't know that. Okay. I was always wondering why we had that. I never looked into it. But
It's the number of, you know, a year is a lap around the sun.
Right.
But a lap around the sun doesn't actually take 365 days. It takes 365 and a quarter days. And so you add one extra day every 4 years to get it back in sync so that we don't ultimately turn summer into winter because the calendar keeps looping out of whack.
Yeah. Time. That makes sense.
So there you go.
There you go.
Random trivia on the True Wealth Show.
David, you are truly by far one of the best librarians of random stuff that I know. And I thought I was pretty good.
I'm no good on Jeopardy when they want you to know like names and dates and things that matter.
You start yelling, the thingy, the place, and snapping.
No, I'm usually looking at going, I feel like I should know the answer to this. Right, and I don't. But nobody asks for like really dumb trivia. It's like, oh my God, I got this.
So I heard something cool on the radio the other day.
Okay.
There was a set of twins born in different
years.
Not only in different years, but now they're different decades, right? So one was born like December 31st of 2019, and the other one was born January 1st because of where they delivered.
Right.
Right? So now the one sister that's older can say, I'm a whole decade older than you.
Yeah.
I know, it's pushing it. Yeah. But it is kind of crazy to have a set of twins when they're, you know, and they're born in different years.
So here's another interesting tidbit along the same lines. So this is significant to me because I graduated from the University of North Carolina. And Vince Carter was in school when I was there.
I don't know who that is.
Vince Carter is an NBA All-Star.
Oh, okay.
His nickname was Vinsanity. But Vince is my age, or actually he's about 6-8 months younger than me. Vince is currently 42 years old and still actively playing in the NBA.
Go Vince.
And still decent. But, you know, I mean, he's 42, right? And if he's anything like me, things creak a little more. That just happens. But he's playing in the NBA. And he is the first player to have ever been on the court in four different decades.
Oh, how cool.
Because his career started in 99. So he had 99, all of the 10s. And you know, and now the teens, and now 2020.
The 11s, so that's not it. Right? The teens, and then the yeah.
So the zero, so the 99, the tens,
barely covering in another,
and the 20s. Yeah, so that to me was pretty awesome. Just a little blurb that popped up in a Google feed the other day, and you know, I have to find my interesting trivia in weird places because we can also talk about. So we have much to talk about today, but. It's my favorite time of year for I love New Year's resolutions. I love goal setting.
We always talk about goal setting. Yeah.
I love goal setting.
We might have to get to goal setting in the next show.
Public announcements of goals because I look for accountability partners. And so, look, if you want to be an accountability partner with me, then you can share your goals, send them. I mean, I'm serious about this. I'll get like a little private group somewhere on a little email circle or something and just kind of encourage us to all stick with it because it's fun. So did you do any New Year's resolutions or goals?
You know, it's funny you say that because that's something that you have, prodded me to do year after year working for you, which mm-hmm. I actually appreciate. And I was looking at my goals for 2019, which mm-hmm. I taped to my bathroom mirror so that mm-hmm. I can make sure to stay on track. And I thought I need to redo those and shoot. Like I haven't actually done them yet. Now I'm behind the power curve, right? I realize.
No, it's okay. I'm still formalizing mine, but I have several, and I'm willing to share.
What was really cool was one of my goals last year was to plan a family vacation. Now it didn't say go on one, but to plan a family vacation that didn't involve visiting family.
Okay.
And I know that sounds really funny, but like most of our family vacations are down to Southern California because that's where we're from, and that's. All of our family's down there. And that is actually happening this year. During spring break, we are going to Hawaii.
Nice.
So, like, I actually planned it in the year, and this year I get to enjoy it. And so, no, I've kind of been knocking around what some of my goals are. Like, one of my goals last year was to start exercising three times. Like, just start exercising. Just do something.
Mm-hmm.
And now with Planet Fitness open in town, I've actually gotten back into exercising, which I haven't.
Katie has a history with exercise, just so we're...
I owned a bunch of gyms for a while, not going to lie. And I think for me personally, I'm not naturally the gym junkie. That's just not who I am. And so...
Yeah, but if you own the gym, you kind of have to go.
One. Right.
Well, and people are like, why would you own a gym? And you have to be fit to own a gym, right?
Well, yeah,
no,
it's
true, but you know.
Well, and they're okay if you're on your journey, but you can't really backslide, right? Like you can't be the one putting on weight. When you own the gym. So, right, when I moved up here and I sold all the gyms and stuff, I kind of went, well, I don't have to do that anymore. And then I moved into the wine industry and went, hey, it's a party 24/7. And that did not help my waistline.
It turns out that is not a good recipe for fitness in and of itself.
No, not really. So, but anyways, I believe in fitness. I believe in keeping your body healthy. And so I've gotten kind of back into it now and excited. I do feel better. I understand what you're saying when you're like, oh, I work mm-hmm. out. I feel better. I have more energy. I sleep better. And so, yeah, it's so what's nice to see is even though I feel like it was a little bit 11th hour, right? Because some of those things kind of happened in November, December,
mm-hmm.
even though those were my goals for the whole year, it wasn't a resolution. It wasn't something that went out the window in January last year. It was like, no, I still need to work on that. I still need to figure out how to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, excited to, I feel like it's not as much goals as adventures this year. Like, I feel like there's so much going on that there's no way to set, like, oh, this is a line in the sand. It's more like, this is the adventure I'm going on, and I don't really know what to expect, so I'm not sure how to set the goals for it.
Gotcha.
I know that was a long thing. What about you, David?
Oh, some of them are boring, but because they're very typical. I do have a goal of dropping a few pounds. Now, I have a specific number in mind, right? I saw a scale and just kind of, like, panicked at it. And it was probably a little suspect, you know, meaning like there's probably I was pretty well hydrated at that moment and a number of other things. But whatever the case, it was enough that I went, OK, enough. Right. I had this moment of like, this is unacceptable. And so I am going to just take a very long time to healthily remove weight, and there's no crash course or anything else. This is, I view this as kind of a permanent lifestyle change. So it's not, no, I'm not on a diet. I'm on a permanent lifestyle change of adjusting food choices. And specifically, I've decided to eliminate sugar primarily.
Now, I wouldn't say the word eliminate. I would say restrict.
Yeah, so that's a better way to describe it. So I'm actively choosing to avoid sugar, but I'm not having sugar ever. Because I have figured out, this is, all right, all of our listeners, you can make fun of me for this. This is the duh statement, right? I love sugar, total sweet tooth, but I consume said sugar, and then like 20 minutes later, I crash.
Right.
And I mean, I really do. Like, I'm sitting there yawning, trying to figure out why I'm so sleepy.
True.
And so I cannot sustain healthy energy levels that way. I just want to like take a nap. And I don't want to feel that way. And when I don't have sugar, as much as I love sugar, I also love not wanting to sleep all the time. So
you don't want to be a hibernating bear?
No, no. And also it throws everything off, because then in the night when I should be asleep,
you're not.
I'm not, right? I'm all like, burp. So I'm just going to make better choices around sugar consumption so that I can stabilize energy levels. And then a lot of other positive things happen from that. But my intention is, I'm talking about a half a pound a week all year.
Right. And okay? If you do that.
Now, if you do that, that's 25, 26 pounds. And if I drop 26 pounds, I'm going to be pretty fit at that point. I mean, I should be getting down to approaching single digit body fat levels. So I don't know if I'm ready to post pictures to the world yet. But, you know, we'll see.
Are you
ever
going to really do that? I don't feel like the whole world needs to be in the picture posting.
Yeah, it's
journey.
Not that. But, you know, if I can see abs, I might feel bold enough to share that. Be like, hey, you know,
enough.
It worked. Right? So,
fair enough.
But it's a journey, right? Not a destination.
Right.
Or so we say.
Yes. We
okay,
do.
let's do this. There are some other things that I want to talk about. Goal setting wise, how to be more successful. Also, how you can get along in the accountability group. Right, how you can jump on board with that. But we're going a little long, so let's take our first break. And we'll do that, and then we will, you know, come back from it. I can't. Yep. Is it working?
It is. I hear the sound.
Oh, good. My headphones are. So the music's playing. Good story. All right. We'll be right back. This is David Littlejohn.
And Katie Shook.
You got True Wealth on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
We kind of do. But
I know,
it's okay. It's okay. Yeah, it doesn't count if it's not booked. Sorry. Welcome back to the True Wealth Show. This is your host, David Littlejohn, with me in studio.
Katie Shook.
And we're excited to be kicking off 2020. This is a big year for... I guess there's a lot of things for me personally that I'm really excited about.
This is a big year for memes, by the way. Like Vision 2020.
Yeah,
there's
so
much play
so
on
we,
that.
So we have the 10-year anniversary
of our firm.
Of our firm getting started. So Little John Financial was formed in 2010.
Nice.
So it's the 10-year anniversary. Now, the technical date isn't until September. But we're going to
December. It's September?
Well, no, we went live with, but the entity was formed and then it was registered.
Got it.
And it was a process there.
Got
so
it, got it, got it.
There's like a window in there. But yeah, anyway, that's so Q4 is, we'll call it the official time zone there.
Okay.
Or late Q3. But we're going to party all year, right?
I was going to say, what you're saying is we need to have a big anniversary party.
Yeah. Also, this will not be the 20-year anniversary of my. In financial services, because I actually started technically in 99, but I'm in my 20th, so we'll have 20 years in the financial industry.
That's awesome.
I know. So I think it was February of 2000. I'd have to go confirm. I think that's when I got my securities license.
Aww.
So
you old man.
Right. Right. So there you go. And people are already triangulating on my age because I compare myself to, you know, Vince Carter's my peer and he's younger than me.
By the way, if they've listened at all, they know your age because I gave you a huge shout out years ago on your birthday when you turned 40.
True.
And I've been really honest about my birthday and everybody knows that we're close in age. And so.
And I'm kind of getting over it. I kicking and screaming. Okay, because for me there was, I'm like a Toys R Us kid. Yeah,
You fussed about being 40. I think way more than I did.
Oh, are you kidding? You were like high fiving on the way
like,
in, like
yeah,
I got this.
You
know? And I'm like, oh gosh, how did this happen?
I'm doing the rookie slaps all the way down the court line, right?
Like what's got me now, and it's just this recognition is that with age comes markings of age. So I'm going. Wait a minute, there's a lot of gray in their hair now. And things creak, things wrinkle, like, oh, rah, 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 rah. But you know what? As people will often say, and I agree, it beats the alternative.
Right.
Or does it? Right? Depending on your faith. And so I'll just say sure. But
There's something that you identified to me a long time ago, and it was about like your wealth building years, right? And you talked about like your stride. And most people kind of hit their stride in their 40s to 50s where, they're higher income earner, their income's kind of been building slowly over time. And so they're in a good net worth as far as like what they're building. They usually have some saved for retirement, so it's like you're still kind of in the working zone for sure. But life is a lot more comfortable than it used to be, right? Like you're not still living on top ramen like you were out of college. And, you have a little more luxuries in life, or at least for me personally, I kind of feel like I'm sliding into that. And I think that's part of why I don't mind my 40s, right? It's like I want to travel. I want to have the nice things. And I have the income to do it. And I have, I'm happy. It's because you kind of go through this building phase. And it's kind of the phase to enjoy it. And I think that's why I was so happy to kind of be in that part. Is I was like, no, I'm kind of in my sweet spot. But life is still getting better every year, right? It's not like, oh, I feel like I've hit my peak. And I think that's the concern when people get older is they go, oh, I somehow hit my peak and I'm on the downhill. And I'm going, no, I'm still on my way up to the top. Like, I'm still hitting that peak.
I've just met too many people now. And I say this genuinely. I know folks that are in their 70s and beyond that are relevant, fun, have stuff going on.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I mean, so I think that it's just, enjoy life in the stages because you don't get an option. Like, you're either going to age or you're not.
Yeah,
right.
And the
right.
not means
so,
and, not
but
breathing.
It's not like you're not aging. It just means you're done, right?
Right.
So you're either going to age or you're done. So go with this gracefully and just appreciate where you're at. So there's your bit of true wealth wisdom for you
well,
there.
And
it's
I
just
said,
own where you're at.
Every decade has offered me something different, and I think I'm anxiously, almost like a child at Christmas. Like, what is this decade going to give me? Like what things do I have to look forward to? And you don't know. I mean, that's kind of hindsight, right? You look back and go, oh, that's what happened
right.
during these years, but. It's a lot of fun.
I think that's part of what makes 2020 so exciting. There's still a couple of announcements that I'm biting my tongue on to share because we got to get a couple more things in line. But I'll be excited to share on air shortly. Also, there's just a lot of neat initiatives that are underway. The financial services industry is really changing.
Oh, yeah, rapidly.
Okay. And technology is changing this a ton. The internet is changing things a ton. And so I have this real personal mission to get back to home base. And one of the things that I always wanted to get more involved in is the education process. But I think I've not dialed in where it was supposed to be the right way. Okay. Because I realize that a lot of people, you can get information everywhere. You're listening to this show right now. Okay, fine. You found the radio as an information source.
Oh, you go on Facebook, you're inundated with information. I mean, right, it doesn't matter what source.
Is it good information? Is it useful? And what does it tell you? I think we have to play detective a little bit. There's a lot of editorial anymore, including this program.
Correct.
Okay. Like, you know, my opinions color much of the information that we share.
Right.
Katie, your opinions, they color this stuff, right?
Oh, and so, I am opinionated.
Well, yeah.
And so is
as
David.
As I tease, I'm an expert in my opinion.
Yeah. We definitely have opinions.
So as we think about the financial industry, though, here, let me tell you a little bit about my 2020 vision of the industry.
Do share.
Okay. I see a change occurring in the marketplace, and it's a change that occurs around transparency first, but it's one that doesn't take place instantaneously because the financial industry in some ways is elegant and simple, in other ways it's very sophisticated and sneaky.
Okay.
And you have to remember that when I'm going to use a car dealership as an example. I don't want you to, not because car dealerships are sneaky. Maybe there are players, but I actually think it's more straightforward than folks realize. There's, you know, a car dealership has to pay for people and the physical location and the infrastructure to run it. And then they've got their various insurances and other business expenses. And then they have inventory. Okay.
Right.
They have cars on the lot for you to come and try out.
Yeah.
Unless you're Tesla, and then they don't do it in a showroom very often. They do it online, and
right. There's
a few showrooms, right? But the traditional model of a car dealership is kind of like the stock market. You can go to a car dealer and buy a car that they don't have on the lot.
Right.
And they will sell it to you, and then they will go get it from somewhere and bring it to you.
Right.
And they will get it for a lower price than you will pay them for it.
Wholesale.
Or they're not going to bother doing the deal because they're
right.
not going to lose money on it. But they'll deal for you, and they will broker the transaction.
Right.
So the broker is getting a transaction from a third party and accommodating it and making a difference in the price of what they bought it for and what they sold it to you.
Right.
That's known as the spread.
Right.
Okay, in financial language.
So
margin in business language.
The car dealer goes and buys it wholesale and sells it to you retail, and there's a difference in the price, and that's what he keeps to make his bills.
And all those bills get paid out of that margin or that
spread. Right, okay.
That car dealer could buy something, or they could sell you something that's already on their lot, and now they have their own cost of inventory, what they paid to put the car on their lot.
Right.
Or if they borrowed money to put that car on the lot, now they've got more moving parts to determine.
Right.
Right. So there you go. That's kind of how the stock market works.
Got it.
Now, do you really think that trading is free at an organization like Charles Schwab or TD Ameritrade or various other online brokerage firms?
I still
firms?
Feel like there's a cost associated, but I'm like so confused with the messages that are throwing out there right now.
Well, the issue is that they make money in other places. So in some respects, it may be a quote unquote loss leader.
Okay. Which if you don't know what that is.
Okay.
It's
so it's when they give something away with the intent of making more money somewhere else.
Right.
Walmart used to be a great example. They would sell diapers below cost because they knew if they could get parents to come into Walmart, they're not just buying diapers. They're buying a bunch of other stuff. And the profit on the other stuff was enough to make up for the diapers below
cost. For the loss on the diapers.
Yeah.
Right.
Whether or not that still occurs today, I don't know. But it was true 20 years ago.
There's still loss leaders. If you want to know what the loss leader is, it's the first thing that they put in your way right on the way in the door. Like
I think they put them in the back of the store, so you have to walk all the way through the store to get to them.
Is that why formula and diapers are back there?
Indeed.
And beer.
So.
And beer.
Yeah, right.
There's a couple things. They figured if Dad was going to pick up the beer and Mama made him buy diapers, there
you
go.
So anyway, that's just a business strategy. But if you think about the stock market, when there's a buy or a sell, there's a spread in between. And people don't realize that there are dealers. right? They think not all transactions are brokered, meaning that it's just finding a buyer and a seller at the same time. If there's no readily available buyer or seller, there are groups that have their own inventory, just like cars on the lot.
Well, and didn't you say Schwab has their own inventory?
I believe that Schwab has inventory the same way I think Fidelity, and I think there are many market makers.
So they go and buy it on sale and then sell it to you
well,
at a price.
Well, so they can
still
look
the
at their inventory, and they have to sell at the price that the market is offering, but you don't know what they bought or sold it for underneath. And so they can manage their own positions and still make money.
There you go.
Right? By they can accumulate more. They can be a net buyer and accumulate more inventory in times when it's more profitable or otherwise. They also can make money in creating derivative contracts. Mm-hmm. And then they can make money in the banking side of things, because if they get you to put money in an account and it's not currently invested in stocks, it's sitting in a money market or a banking instrument. And that bank instrument is an instrument that now represents an on-deposit amount that can then be used for reserve
loans
requirements for them to, on the other hand, loan out. And they can make money on the spread on their loans. So it's a complex business model.
Okay.
Why am I sharing all of this on the radio and making people's eyes roll back in their head?
Including mine. Why?
Because we like to make it look like
everything
is just super cheap and there's this race to the bottom. But what really is happening is we're squeezing out the players that don't have more sophisticated business models. Okay. If a company is only a broker dealer and they don't have a bank, they can't make up revenue losses on the banking side of things because it doesn't exist for them, which means that here's my theme. Dun, dun, dun.
I'm waiting patiently.
The word I want everybody to understand is oligopoly.
Ah, that's a fun one. Not Monopoly.
Okay.
Not your favorite board
Not
game.
Not Monopoly.
And oligopoly.
Why is Monopoly as a board game? Why is it called that? What's the goal of it?
To own everything.
To own everything. If you control the entire marketplace, you can dictate the terms.
Well, what's interesting is if you control a good portion of the high end of the board, you can easily start to control the whole marketplace.
That's the other, is that once you get enough of a controlling block, everybody else all of a sudden has no option but to go through you to get to what they need, and you can sort of set the price.
Right.
And this is a theme that I think more and more of us need to be aware of as voters, as consumers, and understanding the way the marketplace works as investors.
Got it.
Because what'll happen is you're going to get larger players consolidating and smaller players getting either bought up or pushed out. Because it looks like, oh, price transparency. My best deal was to go somewhere else. Except you see part of what you're paying for, not all of it. Or you don't see what you're giving up. And now what happens if Schwab, and I'm not saying this wasn't savvy, but what happens if they get down to only three or four competitors total? And there's nobody else in the marketplace to compete with them.
Then everybody like links arms together and then they all decide to go together.
Well, then you start to get, whether it's intentional or not, you get a certain amount of price collusion.
Right.
Right? And so if that occurs, they can hold the price up, not down. This is sort of like
it's like gas stations being on catty corners from each other, right?
Yeah,
gas stations are usually within a few cents of each other when they're on the same corner. But if they're a city away or a block away,
then
the price will fluctuate a lot more because they're not competing with the guy that's further away. They're competing with the person
right
across the street.
And it can work both ways. The gas stations can drive the price down, but they can also hold the line. Now, you're not supposed to collude, but doesn't mean it doesn't happen.
I want to talk a little bit more about selling the idea of DIY.
Okay, yeah. So this is a really good one. Selling the idea of DIY. So you're talking about for the do-it-yourself investor, right? Or the do-it-yourselfer in general?
No, I'm talking about the idea of it being sold to me. You'll see.
Oh, I like it. Well, look, I love this idea. So we're going to talk about selling DIY, but we got to take a break.
Okay.
All right,
good.
So we'll do that. When we come back, Katie's going to kick us off, and this one's going to be good. All right, stick around. This is David Littlejohn.
I'm Katie Shook.
And you got True Wealth on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Welcome back to the True Wealth Show. Dave Littlejohn in studio with
Katie Shook.
All right. And
I feel like my voice has to go lower when yours does, although it's slightly lower because of my head cold anyway. Okay, but well, that's okay. Maybe it's higher.
It's not a contest, Katie.
I know. I won't win that one. You know, you have hormones that help you out on that one. I will not win that one.
So we're covering lots of ground today. If you just joined us, don't forget they are podcasts of this. So you can check it out. Go to littlejohnfs.com, look under the Educate tab, and you will see all the radio shows, including an entire history of like every show of all time. So if you have nothing else going on in your life and would like to spend approximately 3 weeks catching up, just start listening. And you too can have
longer than that.
It's a lot of shows
now. It's a lot of shows.
I mean, it's a couple hundred in there.
If you get back to the point where David is monologuing, that was before I joined him.
Yikes. I know. Like, we can't monologue anymore. That's no bueno.
Yeah. They're much more exciting now. Well, before we took the break, we were talking about being sold DIY.
Sold DIY. And so can I clarify? Because you told me what this meant. And then I want you to, or will you clarify what it means? Will you please?
Yeah. So
sold DIY. I'm like, so I got to do DIY?
No. So I know David kind of asked me that on the break. He's looking at me like, where are you going with this? I feel like right now I am being sold or marketed to as a DIYer. Like everybody's like, oh, let me show you how to do this. You can do this yourself. Go ahead. Everybody has the same skill set. You don't need any talent or education to do this. Just you can do it yourself. And by the way, I love watching DIY shows about home renovations. I like the idea of a DIY. Like I go on Pinterest. I like getting ideas. Now, I will tell you, from someone who has attempted many different things, some things I pull off successfully and some things I don't. So we all do not have identical sets of skills, right?
Or tools. That's probably one of the biggest right there is that the difference in the tools available are really meaningful.
And the reason I say I feel like I'm being sold is I feel like with Schwab going, okay, we're no more transaction fees, like come to us. But what they're doing is they're saying, come to us and then do it all yourself. And if you are truly a DIYer and have the time for research and knowledge and will learn the platform and enjoy that, God bless.
Right.
Because I would say that the average person is not that person. And so I feel like you're being sold a DIY solution to a person who is not a DIYer. And that's kind of why I said be careful about what you're being sold. Mm-hmm. One of the things I've heard the most lately out of clients and people that come into our office is they don't want to do it themselves. They want us to handle it. They want the customer service. We even had a conversation about what managed accounts mean.
Oh, yeah. Specificity of language, or more important, vagueness of language. When something it sounds like it does something, it doesn't.
Right.
Like managed account, that's a really vague term. Now, my mom used to say something really cute. She said, if you can't say something nice, say something vague. Right.
Oh, that's a good one.
Right.
God bless mama.
So I thought that was really pretty clever. But that the problem is when you have terms that aren't real specific, and the financial services terms can be like that. I mean, look, everybody's a financial consultant or financial advisor. But how many people are, you know, in fact, a lot of people have letters at the end of their name. It makes it look like they have credentials. You know, you see CPA and you're like, okay, I know what that is. And you know what an attorney is, or JD or something, or PhD, like those mean something. But when you start LSMFT, OGBYN, I don't know. I mean, like there's, what do
licensed
the letters
mean? Licensed massage therapist? What are you?
Well, yeah, and at some point it's like, you know, CMFTL, you're like Chartered Market Financial Technician. It's like, is that a real thing?
Well, there's been a couple times when I've been on financial websites, and for that reason, right, I see all these credentials after people's names, and I'm like, what is that? Like, I actually had to look it up and go, what certifications are you getting? Like, I don't, because it's not the standard one. So what are you trying
to
sell me?
Well, and sometimes they don't mean much, right? I went to a continuing education course one time where they said that, you know, when you were done with this, you're going to get a certification as a, you know, some kind of retirement planner, something or other. And what it amounted to was, here, take this course, and then when we're done, we give you this certificate. I'm like, so initials on a business card, if you want to, whatever, you have the certificate. It's like, it didn't mean anything.
Yeah.
And so I think this is the good news about the internet is it's getting more transparent. You're going to start to figure out who's wearing clothes and who isn't.
Okay. Nobody is walking around.
Exactly. You're going to say, like, okay, that's the emperor's clothing right there. Got it. Do the folks have any working knowledge of the industry and how? Because you're right. I think the
biggest thing for me when I was talking about the DIY is it's like, stop trying to sell me something I'm not, or trying to convince me I'm something I'm not.
Well, like, you know, I can go into Home Depot doesn't make me a contractor. I can buy all the same tools. It doesn't mean I can do the things that they do.
Right. And I would say a lot of times, you know, if you're starting out, if you're building a birdhouse, that's much different than building your own residence, right?
Mm-hmm.
So scale is important. If you're just starting out and there's not a lot to lose, you're like, well, maybe I can figure this out myself. You have hundreds of thousands or millions or something under your belt. You might want the contractor.
And I'm going to do an even simpler analogy than that, because it's not about, I don't think it's about competency. That's the interest. No, it is in that you better be competent if you're going to do this. If you're not, then don't. Certainly get help. But let's use the oil changing analogy as a simple one.
Okay? Oh, I love that one. Okay, yeah.
Okay, changing your own oil is not hard.
No.
Right?
Well, becoming more and more sophisticated as cars are becoming more sophisticated.
A little bit, but it's actually, the concept is pretty straightforward. Even with sophisticated cars, it's, you know, other than resetting the sensors, if you have to, you know, tell it, okay, the oil has been changed. It's like you get access to the oil pan, you remove the plug and drain the oil out, you remove the filter and replace the filter, and then you replace the plug, and then appropriately
and
any other cover items that you had to remove to get to it, and then you put new clean oil in the engine. Okay,
right.
This is actually a very easy process. The question I have is, will you do it?
Right.
Right? I mean, for those of you that actually do your own vehicle maintenance all the time, first of all, I'm like, hey, high five.
God bless. That's great. Go for it.
I ask two questions. One, is it worth your time, and is it more cost effective than having it done? And usually the answer is, well, it's worth my time because I like doing it and it's therapeutic and so okay. But it's rarely cheaper, because the mechanics that I know say, heck, I can't do it for the price that these other people can. I mean, like the price of the materials, the way they buy them at scale, I can't touch the price
right.
even.
Right. So again, you're paying retail versus wholesale for a lot of the products, even in the service.
So there's step one.
And it's economies of scale.
There's step two. But I get back to, will you do it? And if somebody says yes, they'll do that, then I say, good. Then what in your life aren't you doing? Because you only have so much bandwidth.
Right.
And that to me is really the key, is if you are willing to expend personal bandwidth doing it, then go learn and you can do it. And honestly, go to our YouTube channel. We're giving away content all the time about how to do this, because I don't know where it flipped in my career, but I have a very simple philosophy that's sort of changed. I used to believe that I needed to have secret special knowledge so that people would hire us.
Yeah, you don't.
I'm over that. Now what I need to know the knowledge to be capable and competent.
I need to be able to convey the knowledge in a manner that makes sense to our clients.
Right. And explain it and use it and so forth. But
in simple terms. But I would, you know, you talk about changing your own oil. I would say, we're talking about it in concept, right? On the radio. Like, it's very easy. Like, oh, take off the screw, you know, take out the oil.
Now, I haven't changed my own oil in years.
Okay. Now, I've never changed my own oil, right? I've never done it. And there's times that I'm thinking, okay, you know, you should always try to do something once just so you understand it. But I'm telling you right now, I'm too afraid to screw it up. I don't even want to change my own oil. And I'm okay with that. Now, the problem is, it's different from talking theory. Like, oh, this is kind of, you know, step A, B, C, this is how you do it. And then actually doing it. Like, you know, you sit down and you go, okay, I'm just going to open an account online. Can I tell you, I've had people call our office and they say, I opened the wrong account. How do I undo this? What do you mean you opened the wrong account? Well, I didn't know which one, and I heard this one on the radio, so I opened up that kind of account, and now I really need this kind of account, and what do I do? How do I walk it back?
Yeah, no, we've seen damaging mistakes, no question.
Yeah, by the way, no, like, New Year's Eve drunk investing.
Yeah, bad call.
Right? I see people go, oh, I need to put money in, and it's December 31st. Oh, it's a holiday. I'm going to open up the account online and fund it. And then they go, oh, crap, I shouldn't have done that. Yeah,
bad call. Bad call.
Don't do that.
So anyhow, back to the core theme on this one. Why do I give it away? Okay, now, first of all, we don't give everything away. We actually do have some secret sauce. We have some methodologies. We've developed some of our own software, some of our own artificial intelligence.
Proprietary? Oh my gosh, right. I could not get that word out of my mouth. Blend.
Yeah, so we have some art and some technology that is unique to our firm, and I like that. And no, I'm not going to say, here, have our software for free, because we spent probably over, you know, thousands of hours in research and development, and, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars in actually getting it done. So, and that's not an exaggeration. It's been, over a 10-year effort that this has been developed. And
our biggest expense by far is in technology every year.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So,
I mean, a lot.
But those tools... we don't give that away. That's ours.
Well, and I'll take it one step further. There are people that actually sell specifically to advisors that do not retail to the general public. So there are products that we can get a hold of that the general public can't necessarily.
Yeah, this is the thing. I'm not trying to sell you on using our firm. That's not it. I'm trying to tell you that anybody out there is, they're all out there different reasons, but we'll give away the knowledge. Okay, I'll tell you how to do all this stuff. And if you listen to this program or you want to call in or email or whatever, we'll give you the answer if you'll go do it. The question is, will you go do it? You know, and if the answer is no, then all right, see me after class, right? But we're long. We got to take our last break. So we'll grab it and then we'll come back and... Heck, I don't know what we'll do. I wanted to talk about these changes, and I think we're not going to get it.
We're going to talk about the Secure Act next week.
It'll be soon. But anyway, stick around. We'll be right back. This is David Littlejohn.
And Katie Shook.
And you're listening to True Wealth on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
All right, gang. Welcome back to the last few minutes of the True Wealth Radio Show. We have covered all kinds of ground today, which includes some things more relevant than other things. But you can check it all out on our webpage at littlejohnfs.com. And you can also... check out the podcast, right? So if you go there, there's it says educate, plan, and invest. Click on the educate tab, and it's going to bring up all this stuff that we do. And so you can check out YouTube videos. You can check out the podcast. You could check out, I don't know what else is on it. It gets updated pretty regularly with new content. So there is your fun fact of how to follow up on this one. I realize we don't have that much time left. There is one thing that I want to bring up because, as you know, at the end of the show, there I guess maybe a couple things. First of all, I get people asking a lot. They're kind of nervous. They're like, are we going to go to war with Iran? And is that going to affect the markets? And I will tell you, I don't know. But I'll tell you that the data and the market behavior right now is really dismissive of this. So I would just not lose a lot of sleep over it yet.
Okay,
so that's step one. And then step two, and this is the thing that could actually affect you in real, actual life.
Which is?
We've changed rules to retirement plans. They snuck it in at the end of last year.
Yeah, really snuck it in, like right before Christmas my birthday.
Right before Christmas, December 19th, it gets approved by the Senate. It already passed. It flew through the House with like only three nay votes, 400-something to three. So it was a
was
really...
Was the nay person somebody who was turning 70 and a half this year?
I have no idea. But for them, in theory, it was fine. But the big thing about this is it changes some incentives for businesses to put in place retirement plans. It gives some tax credits. And then it did a couple things that were really significant in good ways. And then it did a couple things. One thing in particular that I think is it's a bummer. Okay, so it raises the required minimum distribution age. If you have a retirement plan like a 401k or an IRA, you know that is tax deferred.
Right.
Okay, but when you reached, it used to be the age 70 and a half years old, you had compulsory distributions, or they were taxed really, really aggressively, like to the tune of 50% of what you should have taken out.
Yeah, ouch.
So you take it out because 50% is higher in penalty than any tax rate for taking it out.
Right.
So that was the case. And so when 70 and a half arrives, you have to take money.
Start taking out money. Yep.
They raised the age to 72. Woo-woo. People are living longer. So they gave you another 18 months before you had to start taking required distributions. And you think, that's cool.
So all of you having your 70th birthday this year, congratulations. Yes. You just got two more years.
Here's the other thing that's really kind of interesting. It used to be that when you reached age 70 and a half, you could no longer contribute to a retirement plan.
Yeah, they kind of considered you done.
Well, you could sneak money into a 401k plan, but that was kind of tricky. But if you couldn't have an IRA anymore, you were done. And it couldn't have a Roth IRA, you were done. So you couldn't do things like IRA conversions and things like that because
they kind of closed
you were after 70 and a half. Now you can.
Nice.
Right? And so there is no longer an age cap to retirement plan contributions.
Well, go people.
Right. And that's
go
all
Senate.
Pretty cool. Except for one little thing that they took away that's going to sting. Stretch IRAs.
And what is a stretch IRA for our listeners?
So it used to be, you haven't paid any taxes on all your retirement plans and you'd croak. So it's a technical term. And your heirs get the account. Well, your heirs, when you would have been 70 and a half, your heirs still had to take required distributions from the account because it was tax deferred when they inherited it.
Right.
And the IRS says, nope, you got to take the money out. And so you can either take it all out and pay taxes all at once, or you could stretch it out by continuing to take distributions.
But over my age, not
but
over my
parents' exactly.
Age.
Instead of it being the distribution that the original owner had, it became a distribution for you. And if you're younger, then it was a smaller amount and you could spread it out over time. Well, the new rules say maximum number of years that you can stretch out your distribution is 10 years. So it will force money out of retirement plans that would have otherwise been stretched out over time. So bottom line is it changes the planning strategies because now you need to talk about things like Roth conversions and other elements if you want to be more tax efficient with your estate. Okay.
Right.
So if you're not dead already and it's 2020 now, and if you're hearing this and you're worried about your estate plan, it may be appropriate to worry about your estate plan. And I would suggest that you speak to somebody that's qualified and competent and understands what's going on so
like
that you
David
can
Littlejohn.
Get that stuff squared away. So, yeah, we are happy to help with that one. So, again, see me after class by calling at
541-375-0898.
All right, there you go. Also, you can catch us online, littlejohnfs.com, or email info@littlejohnfs.com. We're out of time for now, but thanks as always for joining me. This has been David Littlejohn.
And Katie Shuck.
And you've been listening to True Wealth on News Radio 1240. KQEN.
The preceding program was paid for by Little John Financial Services. The opinions and views expressed may not reflect those of Brook Communications, its affiliates, or its employees.